Welcome to the Wauk City Council meeting, and we're sorry for the delay. We had a little computer glitch. All the council members are now online, and the mayor and his staff are online with the clerk and our attorneys. Just so the public knows, most of the council members are at their homes, and we're trying to abide by the COVID-19 requirements from the state, where we have limited personnel. That's why some of us are wearing masks and some of us are at home not wearing masks. At this time, I'd ask the clerk to call the roll and if the council members could respond.
Mr. Marola?
Here.
Mr. Corley?
Yeah.
Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. McAllister?
Here.
Mr. McElroy?
Yeah.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Sinapi?
Here.
Ms. Travis?
Here.
Nine present.
I'd ask Councilman Lattiser if he could lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, with liberty and justice for all.
Just going to go to general communications as we start here. I think Councilman Howe wanted to make a remark regarding somebody that passed away, as I understand. Is that correct, Councilman Howe?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. This past week, we learned of the passing of Mr. Carberry, who is a good friend of the city, very involved in a lot of volunteer opportunities and committed to the betterment of the city. Mr. Carberry passed away due to complications of COVID-19, and I'm sorry to say that his wife is also battling and under the intensive care right now. And I ask for a moment of silence, Mr. President, when the time comes.
We'll observe a moment of silence for Mr. Carberry and his family. Okay, thank you, Councilman Howe. Are there anything else under general communications before we get started? If not, I just was going to defer to Councilman Lattiser to docket two items for an upcoming meeting. If you could announce those, Councilman.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have one resolution. The tentative title is a resolution relative to transfers, supplemental appropriations, and emergency appropriations. We have another resolution, tentative title, a resolution adopting and setting the tax rate of the City of Wauk for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2020 and ending June 20th, 2021.
Thank you. At this time, we'll go to the first item on the agenda, which is the school department and I'm not sure who's going to be giving that. I would assume the superintendent at the beginning.
Yes, Mr. President, thank you. Good afternoon. First, I'd like to wish everyone well during this unprecedented time of the COVID-19 pandemic. I'd like to thank the mayor's office for his increase in support during this difficult time. Given the many uncertainties, our budget still has some unknowns, like what savings will we achieve from the fiscal year given the pandemic and the school closure? How will the newly targeted federal funds be allocated to school districts, and when will we get the guidance from the state for this process? Now, as you recall from last year, we ended the budget process by cutting many recurring costs to zero, this giving us some budget relief for the short term. Now, a year later, we are funding these recurring costs again. I'll give you two examples. The local pension, as you recall, last year cut to zero. This year, it's not zero, it's around $550,000. It's a little less than the 1.2 recommended, but it is funded. And also, we are funding hardware, $1.2 million. And I think the pandemic certainly has illustrated the value of keeping our technology going. So we are truly in uncharted waters right now. We have questions on how we will reopen schools next fall. What will that look like, and what will those associated costs be for reopening? Now, tonight, we are presenting our budget for FY21 to you for your consideration. We recognize the challenges we all face, and we remain hopeful to find a way forward. I will now call on Ms. Ferrucci to give you the details of our budget request for next year. Thank you. Mr. Ferrucci.
Thank you, Superintendent. Good afternoon, Mr. President, members of the City Council, Mayor, School Committee Chair, members of the School Committee, Superintendent, my colleagues, and most importantly, the members of the public that are watching. We, and I mean the superintendent, the district directors, and other administrators are here this afternoon to present the school committee's FY 2021 adopted recommended local budget. By a vote of 4-1, this budget was adopted at the school committee's sixth public hearing on Wednesday, May 6th, 2020. This year marks the 10th budget that I have had the privilege to present before this body. I can tell you that this year's budget was the most challenging budget the district has pulled together during my tenure. In fact, while we are prepared to present this afternoon, there is ongoing attempts by the school committee and the school administration to further reduce next year's costs, as we fully acknowledge that these economic times are creating budget crises throughout the city. But I will speak to those in more detail in a little bit. Before starting the budget presentation, I just want to make sure that everyone has the two packets of information in front of them that was emailed out earlier or late last week. Packet number one consists of a 5-page document that contains economic impact and major cost drivers summarized over a 5-year period. The second packet is the standard school committee packet. It's a 65-page document. It says FY21 adopted recommended budget as of May 6, 2020. This packet contains the school committee budget in detail that we typically review during this particular type of hearing in the past. But moving on, as long as everybody has those documents, and I don't see anybody raising a hand, so I will proceed. As compared to the school department's currently adopted revised budget of March 3rd, 2020, and I want to caution everybody, in order to achieve this adopted recommended budget for the current year, there is no pension contribution budgeted for the hourly employees and mid-managers pension. There has been a cut in technology and over $1 million from last year to this year because it was deferred until 2021. And lastly, professional development was cut throughout the district. All three of those issues have been addressed in the FY 2021 budget. It is a significant cost contributing increase. In summary, what we will hear this afternoon is that the currently adopted budget is going to have a $755,000 reduction in revenue from where we are this year. We've already been put on notice by the state that we are losing state aid to the tune of $750,000. Expenses will rise budgetarily $7.6 million. That $7.6 million on our current budget represents a 4.5% increase year over year. And with included in that are the three major items that I spoke about that needed to get added in. While the percentages of increase in expenses and the decrease in revenue seem reasonable, the school department is the first to acknowledge that the amount of support needed is high, and we fully understand that having the community support this budget would require a 6.5% increase in local funding. We are extremely sensitive to this particular issue. So to answer the why the level of need exists, we first must look back over the preceding years. There have been information that's been distributed publicly going back 4 or 5 years ago with regards to contract negotiations and fixed costs that were coming through to fruition on, that impact the budget. So what I would like to do is just spend a few minutes going over the summary of detailed documents document number one. The first page of that particular document is where I'd like to start. This first page is a summary of the economic impact reports that have been provided to the public over the last 5 years. In it, we reflect on a baseline going back to the school year 2017, because the teachers' union contract went into effect the following fiscal year, FY 2018. So the first column of the report shows what the total salaries were for the two bargaining units back on FY 2017. $82.8 million between the two groups was what was budgeted. That was split $68.6 million for our teachers' union staffing and $14.1 million for our hourly employee staffing. On November 15, 2017, we went public with with the teachers' union economic impact at the time contract was approved. And in it, we projected annual increases of roughly $4.8 million to $4 million over the three-year period. We projected $12.5 million in increase over the life of the contract. The WISE union contract expired a year later, and thus you have a economic impact statement that was released on March 7, 2018, which showed roughly $500,000 a year in salary increases for the 3 years of that particular contract, for a total life contractual cost increase of $1.3 million. So cumulatively, we were staring at $13.9 million, close to $14 million of contractual increases over a three and a half year cycle. That represented a 16.9% increase for the two employee groups. To the right of that data is where we are today. We show a projected budget for the WISE union, for the teachers union contract of $81 million if the contract had carried through for the 3 years. What we have budgeted this afternoon is $75.4 million. And on page 32 of the detailed document, you will see where that number is calculated by the numbers of positions that are going to be planned on for next year. With that 75.4, we came in under budget by $6 million, but we still went up $6.7 million. That's a 9.8% increase over the 3 years. The Y's is similarly stated, showing a projected budget of 15.5, and we have a budget of 15.6. So that increase was 1.4. So between the two employee groups, while we were thinking we were staring at a $13.9 million worth of salary increases, we actually have experienced $8.2 million. There have been staff reductions, there have been retirements, they've all been factored in, but the net change in salary in the course of that 5-year period is $8.2 million. Next, page 2, major categorical expenses for the same time frame. One of the major cost drivers is health insurance. Back in 2017, it was $14.8 million. Over the course of the following years, we have a budget of $20.2 million. That is a $5.4 million increase in premiums over the period. Included in that is the fixed cost of the teacher's contract, where the district is picking up the pro rata increase because it's a fixed dollars, and it is an item that's under discussion today, but there's been no resolution. Transportation contract, $7.6 million, has escalated to $10.7 million. The driving costs behind that are out-of-district tuition students that the district's responsible. Our in-district contract is averaging about a 3% increase annually, but the numbers of students that go out of district that the district is responsible for has gone up astronomically, which is the driving cost behind why we're not staring at about an $800,000 increase overall contractual, because at 3% on 7 million is a little over 200,000 a year. In 4 years, we should have gone up about 800,000, and we're up $3 million. $2.2 million is attributed to out-of-district student growth. Out-of-district tuitions follows the same trajectory as transportation. $7 million in FY 2017, upwards of $11.5 million for next year, a $4.4 million in out-of-district costs. I want to recognize the fact that we had bond principal and interest payments back in 2017, and they have been zeroed out as the city has taken on that debt service. And so there's been a reduction of that major category by $1.5 million over the course of the same time frame. So totality, $11.5 million in three expenditure line increases. On top of the $8 million in salary increase, the 5-year cost increase on four major components of the school budget is $19.7 million. What I'd like to say is, at this point, is that the teachers union contract is on negotiations. We have not included either increases or concessions in the projected budget this afternoon. We expect that when a tentative agreement is announced, that an economic impact statement will be prepared, at which point we would then identify whether there's an increase to the school's proposed budget or a decrease if there's contract concessions made. They are not included in the budget as of yet. Under the third page, taking the data points that we've already talked about, the first column, FY 2017, you'll see I've inserted what the Y's and the WTU salaries in total were, $82.8 million. All other salaries for that particular period was $11.4 million. We had a total salary expenditure of $94.2 in FY 2017. And the proposed budget for next year, our total salaries are $101,100,000. And of that, $91 million are the teachers and the WISE union employees. And there's the $8.2 million that we brought up on the first page, which seemed reasonable given where we could have been. It is what it is. And as we can notice, that we actually have a $1.3 million reduction in all other salaries across the district in order to achieve the proposed budget. Under the total notables, the lines that I pointed out, $30.8 million in notables, which included the health insurance costs. That's blossomed to $42,500,000, an $11 million increase. Fringe benefits, everything else except health, 21.9 back in 2017, 18.2 in our proposed budget for next year, a $3.7 million reduction for everything else except health insurance. A significant portion of the $3.7 million is in fact the WISE pension contribution cut. All other expenses, our total budget for expenditures in FY 2017 was $163 million. Our proposed budget for next year is $177.8 million. It's a $14 million increase. Just a moment ago, I indicated that we were staring at $19 million worth of cost increases on four categories, but we're only increasing costs by 14.8. So there has been significant work in attempts to reduce other areas to accommodate the cost increases we've experienced. Over the same period in time, we had for revenue in 2017, $164.2 million. We surplused $1.2 million that year. Out of that million two, we actually had an appropriated fund balance from the prior year of $3.1 million that came forward. We've eaten that surplus and then some over time. Our current contribution from the community is $127.9 million, and we're most appreciative of that. Our state aid is 38.2. We are $347,000 less in state aid than 2017. All our other income, we are increased by $332,000. So we had an increase in revenue in the same period of $5.3 million versus a $14.8 million increase in expenses. There's our difference, folks. We're $8.3 million in need of support that we're talking to the community about this afternoon. Before I get into the, I'll go into the last page. Over the last year and a half, there have been a number of initiatives that the district has taken on to determine whether there were other cost savings or if the dollars seemed reasonable. There was a program audit conducted in the spring of 2019. In this summer of 2019, when the city gave additional funding to the schools, there was a caveat to have a program audit conducted. There was also the establishment of a finance committee. And so over the course of the 2019-2020 school year, the Finance Committee convened. Their first item on their agenda was to create a five-year economic plan for the school department. The Finance Committee determined, starting in September of 2019, that in the first year of the five-year plan, which is next year, 2021, that additional expenditure support needed for the schools would be $6.157 million. That included hoped-for, expected union concession of $1 million. And at the present time, we do not have that concession built into our budget. And so their projection back in October and a plan adopted by the school committee as their five-year plan by a vote of 4-1 was that this district was looking at a potential $7.1 million worth of need going into 2021. Program audit independently done, presented in November, reported out an $8,035,000 increase in expenditure need because it identified issues such as professional development, computers, and PD, and pension as items that needed to be dealt with in 2021. So our expenditure range was identified very early between $7.1 and $8 million. Our expenses came in at 7.5. It seems reasonable. We did not expect a loss of revenue, so the $750,000 in lost revenue just magnifies the problem. So I spoke about the Finance Committee. We spoke about the program audit. I also want to mention today also that there was a pension administration change, and so they're diving into the pension pieces. And I think the validation of the data speaks for itself. So before I proceed into the 65-page document, I just want to reiterate one last time that the school department is clearly understanding that the $8.3 million, even though it's explainable, even though it's expected, even though it's defensible, we really truly understand and are appreciative of the mayor willing to do a $2 million additional increase to the schools, given the economic conditions we face. We hope the city council might be able to assist us in providing a little more funding. But even if we could come up with $1 million to $1.5 million, we are still significantly shy of what we will need for the school department. And the school committee is committed to reduce costs. And I'll talk about some of the strategies in a moment. I'll close with that. But what I want to do is just quickly go through the 65-page document for the folks so that some of the things that I talked about can be identified. I want to jump in the lower right-hand corner of every page of the document in front of you. There should be a three-digit number. And the first one is 001. It's our cover sheet. So those are the page numbers I will be referring to this evening. There are other page numbers within the document based on the types of reports that were embedded for your review, but I'm referring to when I say jump to page 012, it's page 12, I'm talking about that three-digit number. So jumping down to page 12, this page breaks out all of the employee groups, administration, mid-managers, the teachers union, and the hourly employees. It lets you know what the net increases or decreases were within those categories. They speak for themselves, whether there's salary increases scheduled for those employee groups, it's noted. If there is any staff reorganization that's been included, it's noted. And so I've just point that out for point of reference for folks, because it's an area where there's a lot of common questions about what type of data, et cetera. So the administration category shows a net reduction overall because of a human resource reorganization of $1,800. Mid-manager shows a slight increase of $52,000. It's part of the human resource reorganization. The teachers union shows $1.4 million increase. And the Wise Island employee shows $395,000. I just want to point that out for a point of reference for folks to be able to digest why salary are increasing. Going to page 13, our health cost drivers. I mean, our fringe benefit drivers, excuse me. Health insurance, it's broken down to say what we're projecting for an increase, what our total medical cost increase is $1.6 million year over year, and that there is a premium absorption because of a fixed contractual commitment of $320,000 on the 7% increase alone. Dental insurance is level funded. State pension is increasing by 0.38%. But on a basis of 14.12%, that turns into a 3% pension increase overall. That's $240,000. And then a non-certified pension. I know your document at the tail end has actuarial reports with a recommendation of a minimum contribution of approximately $1.2 million and an alternative contribution, which is a pay down on the unfunded liability of $1,495,000. Originally, it was $1,495,000, and the school committee made a cut down to the $557,000 that's currently budgeted today. It is about $600,000 below the minimum contribution according to the ARC. Jumping to page 17, I just wanted to point out about three quarters of the way down the page, under object code 52102, it's our health insurance. And if you read across the line, you'll be able to see the expenditures that I mentioned a moment ago. We didn't show FY17 because we're just doing an FY18 for trend analysis, but you'll be able to see in the next to the last column that it's $20,279,000 is our budget for health. Want to jump down to page 20. Similarly, transportation is noted under 55111. And we have a budget of $10.7 million. It's $1,051,000 over from a prior year. What I can tell you is that the out of district transportation requirements include 15 students for non-special ed increase and 28 students in special ed increase for a total of $650,000 of that $1 million increase. We'll jump to page 32. Again, going back to, this is the roster that I mentioned that gives us the staffing pattern for the WTU. 75.4 million is the dollar value that I've talked about earlier in the presentation. And page 33 is the WISE Union, $15.6 million. Again, what I talked about on page one of document one. That's where the numbers are coming from. It gives folks a level of detail to understand what is and is not included. On page 34, near the top, you'll see about six or seven rows down, turnover expectancy breakage. We are expecting 28 teachers to retire next year, and we're expecting to save $50,000 per position. That's a $1.4 million number that keeps me awake at night until November when we find out whether we make that number or not. Next page, 35. Similarly, with our hourly employees, about halfway down the page, again, turnover expectancy breakage, 25 positions, saving $250,000. The spread between a step one and a step four and our hourly employees is not as great as our step one to step 10 in our teacher employees, thus the dollar differential. So this budget includes $1.6 million worth of salary savings for staff leaving or timing of filling staff positions in the future. I mentioned earlier about out of district tuition, so I will jump to page 37 and 38. This is the detail of our out of district tuitions that are non special ed. So our first sheet is our career in techs and what we refer to as pathways. This one makes us very nervous because going back to 2017, we only had 48 students going out of district. And for next year, we're budgeting 137. And you can see the growth over time from $561,000 to $2.4 million. That does not include our state funding number because we just pay a flat tuition for this crew. What I wanted to point out though was last year when we were budgeting the FY20, We budgeted 98. Six additional folks were planned to leave. We actually went up to 34. So we were significantly under budget and had to make up that differential in November, in which we did. So next year, I'm only budgeting an increase of 5, but I am concerned that that may blossom. The next page after that, 38, is our charter schools. These are our students going to charter schools. Going back to 2017, we had 87. And right now we're staring at a budget of 116. Our charter schools has really leveled off. And I believe the students do recognize the value of Warwick Public Schools. So the charter schools is not what's attracting students. It's these out of district programs, the pathway programs that the superintendent has been speaking about for the last year and a half. Why they're qualified, how they get assessed, we're comparable, why can't our students stay if we have a comparable or better program? All needs to be discussed further because that's where the problem is. Charter schools versus our public schools, we're sustaining ourselves. But the movement of students, because they perceive it to be something different or better, doesn't hold water for us, and we seek your support in addressing the pathway issue. We do have 10 contingencies budgeted for next year. So I look at it in totality. We're staring at about 15 students leaving, and if it's more than that, then we're gonna have a budget issue. And I wanted to point that out. And the last thing I wanted to mention is beginning on page 39, we refer to this as Appendix A. In Appendix A are all of those line items in our detailed budget that may not be so clear to understand. When you see a line item called electric, it's a building electric, it's easy to understand. You look at trend analysis over 4 years, how we're spending, folks can gather that. These particular accounts are those of what makes up administrative support, and I'll start right at the top. 53101, $250,000 was the request, okay? We had $50,000 just in contingency if there's some kind of program audit that's needed. And most importantly, there's a stage one and stage two ride submission that's been budgeted for next year. This particular issue can come back for further conversation. However, I wanted to make sure everybody understands the implications. There was Frank Locker, the educational consultant, who's been engaged with the community talking about what to do with our high school buildings. We currently have a $56 million project plan adopted by the school committee that is under final review at RIDE, and we will know about that tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock, and we suspect we will get approval. That $56 million is for elementary and middle school projects we are referring to as phase two of the capital project plan. However, the high school plans, which started last fall and has gone through the winter, have not been concluded. They've been put into abeyance and deferred because of the pandemic crisis we face. The question that's before the community and the school committee in particular is, if we want to move forward with a potential bond referendum in November, and we wanted to ride to weigh in on the feasibility of supporting whatever that project is, it's going to be a substantial request. And we will need funding to pay to have a stage one and stage two application on file at RIDE, and it needs to be there by September 15th. We would need this $200,000 to pull that together in the next 2.5 months. If a decision is being recommended or made to cut the $200,000, that in effect is saying we are going to defer the high school question for at least another year. And that's possible. I'm not here defending one way or the other. It just is what it is. And so understanding the document you have in front of you, it reflects what this was requested at the superintendent's level at $250,000. The right-hand side of the report is what the school committee's final recommendations were, where they said, you know what, we're going to cut the $50,000, but for the time being, we're going to hold on to the $200,000 until that issue has been dealt with. And I would assume that if we're not able to seek all the funding for the school department that's being requested, that this particular item probably would get cut, which then would impact ultimately what happens with the high school capital projects. Again, public discussion, it's ongoing, and we will continue to work through that process over the next few months. So to bring it to conclusion, normally I go a little more in detail into details, but I think you folks grasp the detail. I hit the highlights that really have impacted our budget. So what's the ask this evening or this afternoon? We first of all, third time, going to say it again, that we are, school department is fully aware of the economic conditions we face as a community. We do hope that the city council has all the information they need to support their upcoming decision. What the school department is really seeking are three things. First, if at all possible, any increase in the proposed mayor's recommendation of $2 million would be most appreciative. We understand if it's $1 million or $1.5 million in addition to, I don't know how you guys can do it, and that would be wonderful if you could, we would still be facing over $4 million in cuts within the school department's budget in order to balance. So knowing that, we're asking that the city council, whatever your decision that you need to make, the school committee is going to wrestle with the next 6 to 8 weeks to reduce that demand. And so the school department is going to continue to reduce the request by ongoing analysis of student enrollment and student course selections that may provide budget relief. It may require expense layoffs, layoffs in order to accommodate cost savings, but if students are not enrolling classes and we need to make some changes, that's possible. I believe the June 1st deadline is coming upon us quickly, so that's probably not probable. We have ongoing negotiations with our current teachers, and it's also possible to discuss something with the WISE Union. Those doors are always open, and so those conversations will continue. We probably won't know what that turns out to be until the tail end of June. Potential opportunity of taking advantage of this year's closing schools early. We do have some cost savings. School committee will be making, well, the administration will be making recommendations to the school committee, hopefully in early June, as to what kinds of cost savings we could have and what potential expenditures we might be able to take advantage of between the end of the school year. That would relieve the pressure on next year's budget. Simply put, if there's some money to buy Chromebooks and I can get the Chromebooks into district before June 30th, we will buy them in June and not have to have them for July 1st, thereby reducing some technology hardware expenses. My forewarning, folks, is we are creating a structural deficit issue going into 2021. That strategy will hopefully help us through next year, but we're going to be right back where we are this year of, because Chromebooks is actually a 2,000 Chromebook buy being proposed for FY21. There's more Chromebooks that need to be replaced in 2022. And so rather than level funding the buy from 21 to 22, we're going to make that jump. It's going to seem like an increase again, but we will do what we can. So those kinds of things you may hear about in the near future. Even if we were fortunate enough to have $2.5 million come forward some way, shape, or form, we will still be $1.5 million to $2 million shy of balancing our budget. And so there will have to be conversations about what to cut. And as you've heard this afternoon, we've already cut to where we were in 20. We justified the expense increases. They were all necessary. We're living within a $16 million everything else but staff and health insurance and the other costs that I identified as notable. I feel like I'm on the Titanic, rearranging the deck chairs. We had $16 million in FY 2017. We have $16 million in 2021, and you're asking us to cut $1.5 million or $2 million. School committee makes a promise to do it. But my point is this, no matter what gets touched, I expect phone calls first to me, then to the superintendent, then to the school committee. And I would expect phone calls to the city council and probably to the mayor's office. I think we all need to get behind the school committee and their decisions that they need to make over the next 6 to 8 weeks. I want the city council to have the information in their hands to know that they're making good decisions, that we put students' interests first and foremost, and we will do everything we can to work within the budgets that are allocated and fully acknowledge the economic situation that we all face. So I want to thank you for your time and consideration of our adopted budget. We are happy to answer any questions. And we do have this evening, most if not all the directors, if there's a level of detail that is needed, that I may defer to one of those folks to answer your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Ferrucci. Before we get started with questions from council members, I was wondering if we could just have a motion to open up the public portion of the meeting so we can go right into that afterwards if one of the council members.
Make a motion to open the public meeting.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Councilman Ricks, and someone else seconded it, but I didn't see Councilman. Okay, so all those in favor of opening the public meeting? Aye.
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 All those opposed? So the public meeting stands open. Lynn, I don't have a gavel, by the way, if you could get me one. At this point in time, I'd like to thank Mr. Ferrucci for his presentation. And I know council members have questions. Mr. Ferrucci, I was just going to start off by asking a couple of questions. One, you had touched on transportation. Obviously, we didn't have much transportation for 2 months. Could you address that issue and the savings associated with that and what you anticipate for the fall?
At the present time, we've been closed since March 16th, which was approximately 60 school days for the total year, which is about a third of our budget. We have been contacted by First Student in support of seeking additional funding to support their fixed costs that typically would be covered when we do contractual payments. There's concern, like any going business, that lost that kind of revenue. And I'm also concerned about making sure that the revenue the school department is expecting comes in. So all this is addressed under the caution that if the state decides to try and take advantage of this opportunity, that it may not come to fruition. But to answer Mr. Marola, it's a little over $2 million that we have encumbered that we're not looking to have to pay if it holds.
And Mr. Marola, I can talk about the fall, if I could. I think that's still uncharted territory where we know by RIGL we must provide transportation. We also know by discussions with the CDC and those organizations, this talk of having the buses less than full capacity to transport students. But to do that, you would need an extra fleet of buses at the ready to insert into the fleet with drivers and funds to pay for those things. So I don't think any school district knows how they're going to do transportation next fall and, you know, comply with what's being spoken about right now about having, you know, half to one third full buses and, you know, and have the funds to do that or the buses to do that. So that's probably still a stay tuned as far as next year.
And so my concern was that obviously there was savings to the bus transportation company. They didn't have to pay for gas. They didn't have to pay for maintenance. They didn't have to pay for wear and tear. I'm not too sure what our contract calls for when it comes to transportation, but I would assume that there would be savings for this current fiscal year, and that's what I was asking about.
And Mr. Morrell, if I might just chirp in while you're on the next year piece as well. We built the budget based on our typical operations. So anything substantive that comes down in the next 4 to 6 weeks with regards to guidelines or expectations, we will be pricing that out. We'll be carving that out for the community as to whether it's going to negatively or positively impact us. We have been in contact with RIDE on the CARES Act piece. Preliminarily, right now, as it stands, they came up with a number for distribution. They have not provided guidance specifically yet. However, they used a Title I formula to calculate the distribution. So most of the CARE Act dollars are going into the urban communities. Warwick is in the estimated basket of about $1.1 to $1.2 million. Some of that funding would be used, I believe, for anything that's unique for opening schools that's outside the realm of what we're planning on. So that's a backstop to some potential impacts.
So this year, did we obtain savings, and what was that amount?
Yeah, that I had mentioned early on, it was about, we're staring at about $2 million. As long as that's sustained, again, that's the type of request we'll be going to the school committee to seek purchasing. If Chromebooks becomes a number, we can buy the Chromebooks. Maybe it's a possible contribution to the WISE pension. Those kinds of costs will be reduced out of next year's budget if the funds are available for us to make those purchases this year.
Thank you. Does anybody else have any? We're just going through the council members right now, and then we'll open it up to the public. But does anybody else have any questions?
I have transportation? Questions. I have questions, Mr. President. Are you asking for the questions only to be to transportation or in general?
Well, I was just asking for transportation right now.
Okay, no.
No questions on transportation?
Okay. Mr. President, I have a question.
Sure. Councilman Howe.
Thank you. Good evening. You mentioned earlier that the transportation costs were about $10.7 million, and then you identified out-of-district costs. My question being is, the out-of-district costs, is that, like, can you give me an example of what the out-of-district costs would be that we're paying for students to go?
Yeah.
I know you touched on it, but if you could get, like, you know, elaborate, does that include charter schools? Does that include things we don't offer?
The on the transportation side of the equation, the state had divided the state of Rhode Island into regions back in the 70s when they created a career and tech regionalization activity. And under the current guidance, if a community is within a region, then Warwick is responsible for taking that student to the regional school. Why I say that is, we're responsible for taking students that are interested in going to Foster, the Pontagansett High School programs that they may offer, okay? If students are interested in going to the North Kingston schools, we're not responsible for transportation because it's outside of our region. So I'm talking about those students that we have to transport to schools like Pontagansett, Cranston, Coventry, because they're all part of our regionalization that we're responsible for. The out-of-district tuition is above and beyond that. We do pay tuition for students to go to either North Kingston or Pontagansett, but the transportation piece is regionalized.
Thank you. So do we get funds for that, or would you say that that's an unfunded mandate, something that the Warwick has to pick up?
It's something we have to pick up. The debate on unfunded mandate falls into the basket of the concept that money follows the student. And so RIDE's position the last 7 to 10 years has been, when they created the funding formula, the $9,000 per pupil in total includes dollars plus the community's contribution that should include transportation. So their attitude is, if the student's leaving, then all the money should leave with the students. And so I think the use of unfunded mandate has kind of waned. But the reality is this: if I have a student that's sitting in a classroom with a teacher today, and I got 22 students in the classroom with a teacher, and that student leaves, all right, I still have to transport 21 students to our high school. I still have to pay a full teacher salary. I still have to provide a classroom space with heat and electricity and all those expenses. The variable cost for that student to leave is how much do we pay for technology software on a per pupil basis? How many crayons, pencils, paper does that student consume? It's $4,000 or $5,000. That's our variable cost to have that student to leave. Everything else is fixed. So this whole theory that all the money follows the student wherever they go is the problem. More importantly, most importantly in my book, if a district is able to spend only $15,000 a year per pupil, and a Warwick student goes, and Warwick wants to have the best teaching staff in the state and is willing to pay the resources to have that staff available. Why? Because we're willing to pay $18,000 or $19,000 per pupil. Why should we spend $19,000 to send it $19,000 to a community that only spends $15,000? Why should they profit $4,000? That's community dollars leaving Warwick. That to me is the real fight that we should be taking on.
Thank you. Are there any, not limited to transportation, does anyone else have questions for the school department? I think Mr. Lasser.
Mr. President?
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Lasser.
Mr. Ferrucci, in the savings that you, mentioned, for the transportation cost of approximately $2 million. Does that include the transportation cost for any after-school programs or after-school sports that essentially we didn't have? And I actually think that, haven't the buses actually been shut down for about 3 months now? I think you had said 2 months to the council president. So
a third, about 60 days out of 180 school days, yes.
Okay, so that $2 million savings that you had mentioned, did that include transportation for any of the after-school sports activities or anything of that
nature?
No,
off the top of my head was the contractual daily buses is what I'm speaking to at this point. We should see some savings in the after-school activities. We should see some savings in the athletic buses as well. And on top of that, the fuel and the diesel.
So when are we going to see those savings? When are we going to see what those savings are?
Hopefully by mid-June. Again, my concern is as long as the revenue is sustained, my concern is if we go too loud about how much is available, there may be a need to not give us state aid for the month of June, and we'll be in more trouble.
So then are you asking us to keep in mind, we have voted on this budget, much sooner than the middle of June.
Yep.
And are you suggesting that we should just anticipate what that additional savings are?
No. Right now, my presentation so far is if the mayor said that there's $2 million, and if the city could, in fact, come up with about 4% of the $127 million some way, shape, or form, we're only staring at about $3.5 million of total new revenue for next year out of the 8.3, we're still $4.8 million shy. Every nickel that we can save and defer the cost from next year's budget is gonna come off of that $4 million cut that the school committee is gonna have to face. But at some point, that's gonna evaporate or be spent, I should say, won't evaporate, it'll be spent, and they're still gonna cut $1 million, $1.5 million. If it only comes in at $2 million, they're gonna be staring at a $2.5 million cut. So the struggle is gonna be at the school committee level as to how much of the $4 million do they literally have to cut if we can't save it this year and buy down next year.
So of course, you had mentioned also gasoline and diesel fuel. How much savings to date has the school department incurred for fuel, diesel fuel, and gasoline over the entire year to date? Because not only have we had some 60 days of no buses burning fuel, we also are at prices of fuel at the numbers that I don't think any of us have seen in a very long time. So where is that? Where is your budget with fuel to date?
On the diesel side, we actually had a futures contract that we locked in and cut the budget.